There's few things the rush hour enjoys more than a Sunday session.
Wouldn't you love to just knock the top off one?
And in this Sunday session, we pour out the gold from JB and Billy.
You cannot turn your radio dial anywhere else.
It's the rush hour Sunday session.
I feel good!
On Triple M.
Plenty of legends on today's Sunday session, Daisy, including the two of us in the host chair.
Absolutely. Very good by you, Beans. And yes, we have guest galore today as well. Later on this hour, we chat to former Aussie cricket captain Tim Payne.
Very interesting chat, that one. And I also want to tell you about the people I met at Derby Day.
Well, surely you've somehow managed to make a bit of a fool of yourself. And we'll do something we've never done before by getting a history lesson from you.
Another good bit of work by old Fat. But up next, we promised legends, and they don't get much bigger than the great Chris Judd.
JB and Billy are back soon. It's Triple M's Rush Hour Sunday session.
I feel good!
Triple M. Our next guest was one of the AFL's elite.
Not good enough, oh. Judd. Pick up. Electrified.
Oh, no.
Look at the superstar, Judd.
Not that you'd ever hear him say that.
Oh, I'm very open and upfront about my tall poppy syndrome.
But frankly, we miss him holding people to account on Triple M footy.
I'm asking you the question. You're the newsbreaker.
No, I'm just the good-looking bald man.
Please welcome
5CJ
Chris Judd.
Now, Bill.
Yes.
A man who has dead set done it all. Having a look at the CV here. More decorated than a Christmas tree.
What's he done?
Australia Hall of Fame member. In the last couple of weeks. Chris Judd, welcome.
Fazzy Thomas, Billy, Ravsy, very good to be back on the M's.
Oh, great to hear your voice on the M's, Christopher. What is this Seven Sport Australian Hall of Fame?
Well, it's what you'd expect, Bill. It's a Hall of Fame encompassing all sports.
Right.
So look, it's a bit weird talking about your football career 8 years after it's over, Billy, but at my stage in life, I'll take whatever I can get. So it was a big honour.
Righto. Who else is inducted there, Dave, so we know who he's in the Hall of Fame with?
Sir George Bedbrook,
who's
sport admin, Paralympics, movement, WA, Catherine Cox, netballer, Brad Fittler from the Rugby League.
Mark Webber.
Tanya Harding, softball. So from all sports, as he's just alluded, but Juddy, seriously, the night itself, are you happy to be back there after 8 years, or are you getting bored of it in your playing career? Two-time Brownlow medal, Lee Matthews Trophy winners. Was it nice to just dust off a suit?
Well, no, we haven't had the night yet, Dave. It's December 15, we've got the night.
Well, so are you looking forward to it then?
And I'm looking forward to the night. I think it's pretty low-key. I don't think there's a tux involved, no speech. I think you just rock up and have a couple of coldies. So I'm looking forward to it. I think the great Luke Tunnicliffe has some sort of involvement, as he does with most of these things. So he'll be there, and there will be a few others there, so it should be fun.
Yes. Hey, well done, by the way. Congratulations.
Thank you, Bill.
Hey, what about the Geelong Football Club? How good were they, Juddy? Let's talk about the Cats and the Premiership. What a great side.
It was incredible. That their trade period was just incredible as well, Bill, which was pretty hard to believe. So they're, it looks like they're going to be up there again.
You're very popular here on the M's, of course. And with no Ross Lyon now, no Duck, what about C. Judd coming back and just spending a bit of time with the boys on the Sunday rub?
Look, not at this stage, Dave, no. Oh. I can't rule it out entirely. But
the 13th?
Anyway. How many more ad breaks have we got to try and get through?
No, we don't. Bill slightly got distracted here. But so it's not a definite no. It's a soft no, which to me sounds like they don't have enough pennies to get you back.
If the deal's right, Daze, I've always been clear on that. As of you, you're a good folding man.
Oh, we certainly are. Well, it'll be interesting to see because there is the two spots, as you said, William, and C-Jard, when you go through the Triple M Insta and all the socials, when the spots are available, everybody just says, C-Jard, get him on. They love the Judd Cave.
Oh, exactly.
The Friday night huddle, you took the boys in there, you made them drink Grange, Howie bought a nice pepper jack.
And the dress up. What's some of the gear you had on that night?
It's a very good times, Willis. I actually think it'd be harder to do these days. I think I got out of there just in time.
No. Hey, what about the Spring Carnival? Because you do love your racing and you got a good horse too, which I think runs Saturday, Christopher.
My Oberon in the Champions Mile, so Annabelle Nation trained, and couple of mates. I mean, there's a cast of hundreds that own it, but I've got a couple of mates in there.
Yeah.
And I've got a small part myself. So, yeah, that's a lively chance. We had the message from Annabelle before his run last week at Cox Plate, and she thought it was 70% fit and was just going to go around. And whenever a trainer tells me that, that translates to it's going to lose by about six lengths. So to see it run three wide with no cover and then win by about three lengths in a group two was a bit of a surprise. I think it's a pretty solid horse.
We're talking about your family. How old's Oski now?
11.
Oscar's 11.
How's his footy and cricket coming along? Because back in the Blues days, which is what, 5-6 years ago, already at a young age, Bill, you know when you see a kid that's got talent and ability,
bat, ball, anything, star?
He's going well. He's going well. His cricket in particular is the one he really loves. So he's right back into that. Just haven't had much luck with the weather this year. They've had about two or three washouts already. Yeah. So he's hitting the ball really well. He's a really nice batsman. And, yeah, we're looking forward to getting into that and getting a few games under his belt.
Who does he barrack for?
He is, well, he's West Coast, but I reckon the period that's coming up, I could see him flipping in the next couple of years, I reckon. He's just starting to soften towards the Blues. I think he can read the play a bit. Thinks there might be some good time ahead. So he does flip-flop a little bit.
And what kind of dad are you? Are you now, Oski, playing the V, keep the ball on the ground and go and watch every ball, or what?
No, I'm pretty much a stay of the way operator. I bowled him a bit. He's getting harder and harder to get out now, which is a bit of a problem.
What do you bowl? Little offies or something?
I bowl crap,
Like the round arm. You can't get your shoulders above it.
Very round arm, and there's a heap of tape on the tennis balls now. If you bowl just a straight tennis ball at him, he's not getting out all day. So it ruins the shoulder.
It certainly does. Well, mate, we thank you very much for joining us. Congratulations again on the induction into the Sport Australia Hall of Fame. Enjoy the night when it does come up. And
Sunday.
And Sunday, of course. Yeah, we look forward to having you back on Triple M Footy.
Thank you, gents.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
Did you see your former president, old Flog here, getting some merchandise from Carly at the club?
Now, Bill, the quiz yesterday went well. Hump day quiz, really good. Yeah. But just late in it, you posed this.
Well done, Paul. Well done, Peter. Five of the...
thank you.
What are the gods, mates?
Disciples.
Thank you.
What are the gods, mates?
So the gods, mates. So we thought that was done, but then after the show, you kept quizzing and asking and probing, and then we've rocked up again today and you've gone with some more.
Are you a religious man?
Not overly, no. I didn't love the history
and how it all happened?
Yes, we'll go with yes.
That's what I'm intrigued about, how it all happened.
So after the show yesterday, you just wouldn't let this go about the 12 disciples.
Yes.
So what did you
do? How did that come about, do you reckon? Do you reckon he called a meeting or like needed middle management? Like how does it all work?
I don't know.
No.
This is what I'm hoping you can share.
So we all know there's Peter, James, John, Andrew, Judas, who you were nicknamed when you went to Carlton.
Yep.
Exactly. Now there's a Tom. Do you know there's a Thomas?
No. Oh, is that where Doubting Thomas comes from?
That's where Doubting Thomas. So this is your history lesson, okay?
Okay, good.
So there's a Thomas, and he was called Doubting Thomas because, Rabsy, he didn't believe that Jesus died originally and then come back.
A bit like Elvis.
Well, nothing like Elvis. So anyway, he was Doubting Thomas. He's a disciple. And they're all fishermen or carpenters, okay? Link one had a car wash. But they're all very fishermen or carpenters. But the big problem for Jesus was there were two Matthews as part of this 12 disciples.
Okay.
Two Matthews. And he didn't want two Matthews. So I believe that he got them together, the two Matthews, and said, hey, boys, let's have a beer at the Sphinx. We'll go down there. And they met, right?
You have just jumped in your car, this is still the Rush Hour Triple M.
In history, this is what happened. So he's got the two Matthews together.
Yes.
And he said, look, boys, I'm writing a book. I reckon it might be a bestseller, this one. It's going to go right.
He didn't write the Bible.
Perhaps. He's writing a book, right? And it's going to be a bestseller. It'll be bigger than Tim Payne's. It's going to be a beauty, this one. I'm going to tell that story about old Moses the other day when he went down the Red Sea.
Yeah.
And the time I built that ark, right? Mm, so it's going to have some good stories.
Noah's.
But he was there. He helped Noah.
Oh, he was taking the notes for his book.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
So it's going to be a bestseller. But I can't have two Matthews. So I wanted to know, how do you reckon he would have sorted? Because he said one of you got to be called Levi, which is a bit of an interesting name back then. So how do you reckon that would have worked?
Back in those times, I don't know, who bought me the best present?
Something like that. Well, you had to fight the line.
So not really a present. No, you had to fight something.
But so he had two Matthews, then he had to go, righto, Levi, I'm going to call you Levi, even though your name's Matthew, and you're Matthew. So that's how it all happened, the 12 disciples. Did you ever think about that and how it all come about?
Not to that extent, and I'm not sure post this I'll put any more thought into it, because that's the only thing I need to know now. That is so clear.
Yes.
I am clearly smarter and more knowledgeable about this topic
now. Nathaniel was another one, which is a strange name.
Big Trev?
No, Trev.
No, he wasn't in there.
No, Trev. Clint? No, Clint.
Jaden?
No, Jaden. He didn't like some names. Like, let's do him phone or I do where you don't like names. Anyway, there's your history lesson.
Was there a Toby?
No, never call again, he said. He told him a joke one day and he didn't like it.
Package that 3 minutes and 25 seconds of radio up.
I apologise.
There's your history lesson.
Yeah, that was awful.
Did you ever think how it all, how did it go about? How did he start his little disciple club?
Okay.
If anyone's listened to that, it's not factually correct. Yeah. So.
You sure?
Yeah.
Are you sure? Were you there, were you?
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
Not only is it not funny, it's also highly inappropriate.
Saturday, Rabsy, of course, was Derby Day. Lucky enough to go along. I was in a working capacity, had some clients from our good friends at Points Bet, Bill. But I had a couple of sightings of you swanning around, I'm led to believe, in the birdcage.
Public. I went out where the public area is. I loved it out there with all my friends.
Do not lie. Where were you?
I got an invitation, Daisy.
Yes.
To the birdcage, Paramount, which is the Channel 10 one, actually, which was very nice. So I thought I'd take it up. Took young Oscar along. And we had a lovely day there. Very nice.
How was the day inside? So obviously the birdcage for, well, I guess everyone knows, but if you don't, it's the la-di-da, top end of town, the celebrities.
Not really, Daisy. Don't pump it up like that.
Okay,
but
well.
Yes. No, but it's changed a bit. The big open spaces there now, we can sit and have a drink. They had a big band area and things like that. And you can actually now see a horse. You can see the race. You never could see the race in the birdcage. So,
Are they struggling for big names, though? With all due respect, if W. Brownless is Anthony Williams.
No, well, there were some good names where I went. Stephen Quatermain was there, of course, Channel 10 for long.
Okay.
And then there was a lovely Jennifer Kite, who we all love. Robbie Mills was there running around.
Mm-hmm. Sandra Sully?
So this lady comes up to me, goes, "G'day, Bill, I'm Sandra Sully." And I said, "Sandra Sully with the late news." And she goes... Yes, Bill, I've
heard
that.
That was your opener.
That was my opener.
Hello, I'm Sandra Sully. Welcome to 10's Late News.
Exactly, Rosie.
Did she receive it well? Because I would have slapped you.
I think she'd heard it before. It wasn't the first time. Yeah. But a lovely lady. We got talking and she had some tips because they all get some good tips there. So we're going through all that. But she was lovely. So it was really nice. Very la-di-da and champagne and wine and whatever you want. And then I just said to this lady, I said, "Where do you have a bet? I just need a little bet." She said, "You've got to go downstairs, a big barn door." So I went downstairs, opened this big barn door, walked in, not one person in there. Not one, Daisy.
So you've been given a bum steer?
No, bloody great steer.
So the barn door had punting facilities?
Well, so I walk in, there's a room there, lovely lady with the points bet tab and things. There's a bar there. There's a TV with the races.
Yep.
And I'm sitting on a window where you can still see the la-di-da out there. So I went and locked the door.
On your Pat Malone.
Yeah, I was on my How good was that?
Sat there betting on your phone.
At the races.
At the races.
By yourself.
Private room Brownless.
So I did. And you're right. No, some people come in. A bloke had to come in and bring food in, which was very... How good is a chicken sandwich at about 5 o'clock? Yeah. And they bring these little toasties too. Gee, they're good. Anyway... The kids went off and did their stuff.
Did Oscar had a good day? Did he meet good anyone? Day.
Well, yes. He met someone upstairs. That's right. What's his name? He's a director, Daisy.
What's his name? Well, you were there.
Yeah, I met him. He's a very nice boy. Who is it?
Taika Waititi.
That's him?
Yes.
Taika.
Who's a very, very good director.
Well, he's won an Academy Award, a BAFTA, a Grammy, received two nominations at the Primetime Emmy Awards. Mm. Time magazine named him one of the 100 most influential people in the world. And you had out of.
So Oscar said, this is this Nentiti or whatever his name is.
Taika Waititi.
Taika, yeah. Oscar said, "You've got to come, Dad, come up with me. I want to meet him." So I went upstairs and the good looking man sitting, Rory Lobb actually was there with his blonde hair sitting right next to him. Anyway, Oscar weaseled his way in, having a great old chat about the movies he'd made, and then I come in. I'd had a couple of beers. I said, then Oscar, this is my dad. And I go, g'day, mate, how are you? I said, oh, movies, I love my movies. I like, you know what my favourite movie is? He goes, what? I go, Porky's 1 and Porky's 2. What a dickhead.
And how was that received better than the late news?
I love them. I love those movies. And he gave me a little, what do you call those?
Fist bump.
Bang. Gave me a little fist pump. But how good was that? He was a very nice fella. Lovely man. I liked him.
He's directed the last two Thor films.
Yeah, Thor.
Thor. Well, I didn't know that. If I knew that, I could have spoke to him about your Thor.
Could have rolled a bit more material out.
And the other good show that Whit was telling me about.
Jojo Rabbit?
No, which, not no, that.
Hunt for the Wilder People?
Yes, yeah. That one in New Zealand. That is a good show. I've seen that. So good on him. Very nice. Anyway, it was funny because I was downstairs. I after me Porky's thing, I said, that's enough from you, Dad. You just go downstairs. And I sat in this chair. So the kids, after about 3 hours, said, Dad, where are you? We're out gallivanting. I said, I'm still in that chair, just sitting there punning. At 6 o'clock, they text me, Dad, where are you? We should get going now. We'll catch a bus or something. Said, I'm still in that chair. So sat there for 6 hours.
Has not moved. So then,
didn't move.
Cup days, surely you're not going back.
Cremorne.
There you go. So you were just sitting in it, do chair. What you did at the races, but at your pub.
Spot on.
Outstanding.
Looking forward to it too.
Tika Waititi.
Yeah. Good director. Follow him. It's going to be all right. Porky's.
Porky's 1 and 2 of all the films.
You're a clown.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
Thomas Carr. Yes. Right, another one. This one caught my eye, Jimmy boy.
Thomas.
Right now we're joined by one of Tasmania's finest ever cricketers, Tim Payne, whose new book, The Price Paid, A Story of Life, Cricket and Lessons Learned, is available online and in bookstores.
Our next guest is a former Australian captain who helped win the Ashes.
Brought to Payne, and he comes down the track and smacks it in, back over the top.
He's not bad on the stump mic either.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Quite a religious man, Tim Payne.
Please welcome Tim Payne.
Timmy Payne, thank you very much for joining us here on The Rush Hour, mate. The book comes out, highs and lows across what was a fantastic career and getting back into it. How are you tracking in the minute, buddy?
Not too bad, thanks, mate. Not too bad at all. Nice to get the book out of the way and now we can move forward with a bit of luck.
Righto, Timmy, some of the harder-hitting stuff you'll get from us. The Price Paid is the book that comes out, and one of the biggest talking points is, of course, you feeling abandoned by Cricket Australia. It's been everywhere about this and the story. How have you come out of it now that you're back in sort of playing cricket again?
Yeah, I'm okay still. Obviously disappointed. I've said that, you know, plenty of times. There's a bit on the book just with the way the situation was handled, given that it was, you know, 3 or 4 years in the past and I've already sort of been investigated by the Cricket Australia Integrity Unit and been given the okay. So for that to sort of be flipped on its head after we'd put time into sort of what would happen if and when it did come out, that was sort of, changed at about 11 o'clock the night before, unfortunately. But, look, as I said, got the book out, got my side of the story in it and now try to move on.
Yes, indeed. And the other one, of course, was all to do with the sandpaper gate. But that series, it had a bit going on, didn't it? The South Africans.
Oh, yeah.
They got Faf, who always carries on, Rabada, who gets a few wickets, as you say in the book, and then gets very, very aggressive in people's faces and things like that. You got Quinton de Kock, who's a beautiful bat, but him and Davey Warner are having this ongoing battle.
Yeah.
There was that run out by Lyon when it looked like he threw the ball down on
AB's head.
That's right. So there was plenty going on, Timmy, in that series anyway.
There was. It was strange, actually. And we'd just come off a series in Australia against England, which was sort of, you could probably tell it was heading that way. Actually, there was a bit of heat in that one as well. But I think when we got to South Africa, it went to another level. There's no doubt about that. And I think Faf's book had just come out as well, actually, and he talked about their mentality in that series, which was to try and bully the bullies. And I think that's what you saw. They came pretty hard at us, and then we went pretty hard back. And you know, they thought we were cheating with the ball. They thought we were cheating with the ball, and everything just went one step further in that series. It was a heated, fiery series, which at the time was, part of it was awesome to be a part of, and obviously the other half was horrible to fall out from it.
plenty going on. It was like Donkey Kong. It was all happening. But also in the book, and you got to read this yourself, but you said that you saw the South Africans actually ball tampering after the sandpaper gate.
Yeah, I think, again, if you read Faf's book, which I know you will be.
Nah.
No. Only yours, he talks about it, and yeah. I touch on it a little bit. That, yeah. You know, it had become a little bit of common practice in international cricket. The teams were trying to get the ball to reverse swing, and a lot of the time that wasn't within the rules of the game. So, I mean, I think you see now there's not a hell of a lot of reverse swing going around in international cricket, and that's probably the reason. I think the game's cleaned up in that area a lot since, you know, the fallout from that infamous series.
Yeah. What happens instantly after that sort of a vision comes out? Can you take us in the sheds there and what the process is from there?
Yeah, funny one. Yeah, well, there wasn't a process for it, I don't think.
No.
That was probably half the problem in the end. I think the end of that day's play, Cape Town's an interesting change room. It's split into about three different spots. And I remember coming off because not back then, it wasn't a million years ago, but when you remember guys were getting done for ball tampering and getting one or two test matches. It was a bit like punching someone in the AFL, really. That was the equivalent.
Yep.
Suspension for it. So I wasn't all that worried at the time. I just thought it was sort of a bit of common practice and people had been rubbed out before, but Smithy and that were obviously really worried and probably read it a bit earlier than what I did. So they all went into another room with a lot of our sort of senior staff, and from there we're listening to a press conference, which we watched, actually most of us watched from in the change rooms itself. So we're a little bit in the dark at the time with how it went down, but it's obviously something that we're all disappointed to be a part of and something we've got to carry with us for life.
Yeah, but we all move on too, by the way. Yeah. So, and the book's there, Tim Payne, The Price Paid, it's a beauty.
Timmy, all the very best with the book, mate. Well done on putting your side of the story out there. All the best with what you're doing now, and we thank you very much for your time on The Rush Hour.
No worries, gents. Thanks for having me.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
Anyway, that was it, Jim. Up next, not sure what we got. We'll just work on it during the ad break.
Our next guest proves that while age is no barrier to comedy...
I have osteoarthritis in my hips, so it means my hips click when I walk. Yeah, hello, ladies.
It just might be for other stuff.
She said, I can show you ways to have sex that will knock your socks off. I was like, I don't even want that. It took me 20 minutes to get him on.
Please welcome Will Anderson.
Very, very funny, this man, Bill. Yes. Will Anderson, one of my favourites personally. Welcome to The Rush Hour.
Daisy, good to see you there, mate. Feel like finally at this time of the year, JB's not there.
Yeah,
I was getting worried about the big fella. He'd stuck around way longer than he ordinarily sticks around. Normally he gets the replacement straight in. And I think I've got to be honest with you, Daisy. I think that he's a little worried. I think that he knows that you're young, you're hungry, you're ready to go, and there might be an opportunity there. So he stuck around for a little bit longer than he ordinarily would.
Exactly, because normally he has gone
he's
early,
straight out
so
of there.
He's worried. You're right. Hey, Will, interesting look as I look down here in the Zoom. Have you watched something about Mary?
Is that the hair?
Yeah, what's going on with your hair?
Yeah, not a problem you face, is it?
yes.
And as Daisy said, are you in a sauna? You're in a
I mean, soprano style. I like to do all the meetings from the sauna. I am towel from the waist down. Oh. You know this.
You do have the new book out, I Am Not Fine, Thanks. Tell us about, you had 365 days off, so a year off between gigs. Must have been excited to get that first gig back out of the way.
Oh, so how's this, Daisy? Like, I got offered a gig. It was like 365 days to the day. It was, the only reason I took it was actually to the day. It was 7 minutes of stand-up comedy, and I had to drive 3 hours to get there and 3 hours home. So a six-hour drive for a seven-minute gig. And this is what I love the most about this is that, like, I almost died on the way home. So on the way home, there was this massive storm up my way. I was about 10 minutes from my house and I'm driving this windy back road and then suddenly, bang, out of nowhere, this giant branch snaps off a tree, bounces off my windscreen. Like, I was so lucky that I didn't see it coming, because if I'd seen it coming, I would just would have swerved, gone over the side of the road. There's no one left to tell this story, but it smashes my windscreen like so badly that I pull over, I get out of the car in the middle of a storm on a dark stormy night. The windscreen is like concaved in to basically where it almost would have got me. And my immediate reaction is to get out of my car in the dark in a storm and start walking back up the road to see if I could like find this branch. And then suddenly I realize, like, you've already cheated death once. This is what they call a final destination scenario, right? Like, you shouldn't be out here going, hello,
How did the 7-minute gig go? Well, geez, you would have been full of jokes and everything. You would have got it all out in 7 minutes, surely.
I mean, here's the thing too, Bill. Like, when you drive that far, you want to say it was a great gig.
Yeah.
It went fine.
Oh, no good.
Oh, no. A bit of rust after a year, right?
He's been sitting at home for a year, got all these gags and jokes. He gets 7 minutes and it's only just fine. What about the Pope? Now, you please tell the people what the Pope told his nuns and priests what they can't do. Will.
They can't. They cannot watch pornography because, as he said, the devil enters from there, which I believe is one of your favourite actual videos, isn't it, Bill? On your search engine, the devil enters from there. You love that one, don't you? The Pope said.
He said that this is true, Daisy. Listen.
This is true. He told young nuns and priests that they have to avoid the evils of pornography. Like that, yes. So he said no. No porn for the Catholic priests and nuns.
But the Pope's exempt? Is that the understanding?
Well, that's the understanding, but we're all human.
If the white puff of smoke comes out of the Vatican, that means...
No, I don't want to know. This is taking a turn.
Mate, all the best with the new book. It is called I'm Not Fine, Thanks.
That's it.
You're doing a good job, Daisy. I've got to be honest with you. Is JB hearing about this?
No, he's in Italy, mate. He's sunning the plums and having a great time, so he couldn't give us stuff.
He couldn't give us stuff about us, Will.
He should go and visit the Pope, see what's going on up there.
Oh, Jim should, actually, yes. And the Pope could have a chat to him about what he talked to the nuns and priests about.
Thanks very much for joining us on the Rush Hour, mate.
Thanks, boys.
See you, mate.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
And your car was parked out the front. You didn't come in.
Yeah.
And I got a ticket. Good. I got a bloody ticket.
Bill, this came across my desk today. I was sitting there on the computer having a look, and it said, Aussie childhood dinners we all secretly hated.
Ah, yes.
So I read on, it said, started with, sorry, Mum, we all know our mums make the best cooks. Dads are okay too, do their best. From homemade casseroles, pies to roast and soups, there are plenty of dishes we'd easily jump back in time for. However, there are just as many we wouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
So it got me to thinking about a young Dale going to Druin South Primary School, getting off the bus.
Yep.
The bus door had opened, 500 metre walk up the driveway to the property, and there was a smell in the air.
Beautiful.
And I go, oh, not again.
What?
We would be having, Bill.
Mm-hmm.
And it is one of your favourites.
Mm-hmm. Don't say corned beef.
Corned beef. The smell of it coming out of the house, down the driveway.
No. I'm not listening.
The food itself the next day I could almost cop. But we had a small house, and dead set, the sheet smelt of it, the pillows, the curtains. Corned beef.
Mm. It's my favourite. You know, it's my favourite corned beef.
Say no more.
When we went to the pub down here, the Punters Pub, which was full on Saturday, by the way.
Emerald.
That's what
They're
I have.
They're doing corned beef at the Emerald.
Of course they do. Oh, people love corned beef.
The smell, though, Bill.
No.
It's just too much. No. Overpowering, gross. It smells like burning flesh.
So gross.
Gross.
That's why I like it. So growing up as a kid, you hated corned beef.
Yes, surely there was something.
No, I used to eat everything, as you can see. But Brussels sprouts.
Ah, the old favourite.
And
yes.
I hated them, but then I wouldn't eat them, and I wasn't allowed to leave the table until I ate them. But then they go cold, and I'd sit there, and it would be see who wins, and then I'd go off to bed. I hated and still do Brussels sprouts. Out. Yuck.
Well, then hence. 133353, what is a dish from your childhood that you could not and still can't stand, absolutely hate it? We go to Fiona in Shoreham. Fiona, thank you for joining us.
Hi, thank you.
No dramas. What is the feed you got as a child that you're traumatised by?
Well, there's actually two. So the first one's ham steaks with pineapple.
Oh, yes.
I love them.
So foul. And the second one was even worse. It was Jerusalem artichokes.
Oh, the artichokes.
Oh.
Yes.
Try reach.
Did you have to peel them apart to get to the better part?
Well, so they're like, I mean, I don't know if you know them at all, but they're like, they look like a soggy ginger root. And then you get them and you squeeze the stuff out and eat the middle. It was just vomitile. And we were made to eat them. Oh. Dad grew them, so it was like...
Endless supply.
Yeah, it was nasty.
No, not ideal. Thank you very much, Fee.
Leah's there in Pasco Valgo. Leah?
Hi, how are you guys?
How are you going? As a child, what did you hate?
Oh, green peas. I was force-fed them, which in turn made the cat be force-fed so I could get away from the dinner table. Today, I still can't pick them. I can't eat them.
Still can't look at a pea today.
Oh, the peas are all right.
Absolutely not, no.
With mashed potato, mash them all up. Beautiful. No?
No.
Absolutely not. Thank you very much, Bill. Who are we going to?
Luke from Wilgunya, which is up there, Corra, across the river, the Murray River. Geez, you'd be flooded up there, Lukey boy, wouldn't you?
She's a bit wet, Bill, you could say that.
Yes.
And still rated.
Wilgunya, there's not much there, to be honest, but a lovely little town. Mate,
it's got the great old Empire Hotel, Bill.
Oh, have you got that?
Yeah.
Oh, well done, mate.
Is it still open?
Froffies would be nice and cold.
Is. Oh, beautiful.
And do you have tuna casserole on?
Tuna casserole, not likely, Bill. It is SH1T.
From childhood, though, so got fed it a lot as a kid and still hate it?
Yeah, I can't handle it, mate. Misses and kids love tuna and corn vol-au-vents. No, yo, can't go near it. Scarred me for life.
Tuna, yeah, no from me too, Bill. No from you?
No.
Something.
That's a no.
That's a straight cross. Very, very good. We like that one. Rob from Melton.
Yeah, mate, how you doing, boys?
Very well, Robbie. Thank you. What's something that you're scarred from and cannot stand?
Oh, when I was 8 and my brother was 10, my father had a housekeeper and we had curry sausages for breakfast, lunch and tea for 2 weeks. She was gone after that.
She got a job at the Creamy.
Yeah. We had him on special there. Hey, curry sausage is bloody beautiful. Not every day, I suppose, for lunch and dinner and breakfast.
Yeah, not for 2 weeks, you know, 3 times a day, Bill. Come on, mate.
Yeah, all right, okay. Mate. All right, then. But I do like that.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
Well, just do you know what a tine is? The tines of a fork. Do you know what that is?
Yes.
What?
It's about 5:32.
Once again this summer, Triple M rocks cricket, starting with the One Dayers against England, and Greg Blewett is part of our massive call team.
Triple M's summer of cricket is just around the corner.
Are we up and about?
Oh, yes.
Are we up and about?
And our next guest is ready to dominate just like he did out in the middle.
Gone for it. It'll be 2. It'll be the 100 for sure. It's gone down to third man. What a magnificent effort by Greg Blewett.
Please welcome Greg Blewett.
Yes, let's welcome Greg Blewett. It is a massive summer of cricket here on Triple M. And having a look at this media release of the names, Bill.
Yes.
Massive, massive names. This man will be front and centre, but some massive inclusions as well. Bluey, welcome.
Thanks, Daisy. G'day, Billy.
G'day, Gregory. And great to speak to you down the line, of course. And the Triple M cricket team, it's a good team. I'm happy with this. And as Daisy said, you've got a couple of recruits.
We have Brian Lara, who just completely belted me everywhere over in the West Indies. Well, I wasn't the only one, to be fair. He liked Stewie McGill on occasions as well. But good to have Brian out. I think the Adelaide Test match will suit Brian because he likes his nighttime work. He doesn't like his early morning. So I reckon Perth might just sort of stretch him a little bit. But no, he's obviously one of the best players ever. So he'll give us some great insight with the West Indies. And then Mornay Morkel, I call him Tuna. Tuna Mornay,
oh,
Billy.
Nice. You nice, Louie. I like Chris. Yes.
You like that?
Yeah.
So thank God I never faced Mornay because he just looked very awkward. Everything sort of would go, you know, between sort of waist and neck height. So I didn't like that length. But he'll join us as well. South Africa will be, they'll test Australia this summer. Mm. So that'll be a great 3 test matches. And, of course, Mitchie Johnson is going to join us in Perth as well. So he's a good get for Triple M.
What do you call him? What's a nickname for him?
Jono?
Not quite as sharp as the tuna, but some serious firepower there. Mitch Johnson, Mornay Morkel, very angry men, and we'll love to be talking and hearing to how they describe getting that ball, as you said, up around the midriff and the throat of the batsman.
Yeah, that's right. Well, especially Perth. I mean, Mitchy Johnson, you know, love bowling over there. And what I love about the new deck as well, so they've obviously gone from the Wacker to over the road to the new stadium, and it's just as quick. So they've done a really good job, because sometimes the drop-ins do take a while to get their pace and bounce, but it's flying through. So I'm sure Mitchy Johnson will be licking his lips when he sees the ball flying through.
And beautifully led, this team, by Mark Taylor of Fujitsu, Mark Howard and James Brayshaw, who's in Italy at the minute. Have you caught up with him lately?
No, well, I spoke to him, I think it was 2 days before he left. Yes. His lovely girlfriend, Lisa, has sent me a couple of messages since they've been over there. Now, my wife, Catherine, and I are speculating that this could be it, Bill.
No.
Italy, Amalfi Coast. We're thinking
something. Down on the knee?
I reckon he's...
Huge,
I reckon
if
this is it, because I know... I think he's under a bit of pressure. JP. But where was the last place he went overseas? Did he go to Thailand?
Bali.
That's right.
But it wasn't where everyone goes. It's up in the hills where he goes. Where there's only five people allowed through the gate.
Yeah, and he's got his own chef and his own driver and all that sort of stuff.
People often ask, what's he like? He is a flog, isn't he, really? He gets carried away with himself, Bluey, doesn't he? He's entitled.
No, he's one of my great mates. So, we love giving him a bit of stick, but geez, he's bloody good at what he does. So obviously he's great with the footy, and he's also great with the cricket as well. And
what about his cricket career?
Was he actually good?
Yeah, because of state cricket, he averaged 43, I think, which is pretty
That's
good.
Handy.
Yeah,
but Bill and Daisy, he was coming in behind me and Darren Lehman. Oh, so he just
shines off it.
He just cleaned up the scraps on Adelaide Oval, which was very flat.
Right.
And so he used to love the spinners.
Yeah.
He didn't like the quicks. He'd sort of back away a little bit to the quicks and try and go over, you know, third man style. But when he got on a roll, he was definitely a good player. A bad catcher of the ball, though, Bill.
Couldn't catch. Doesn't sound overly brave, the description we're getting.
No, and not athletic either. And his medium paces were just...
pedestrian?
Pedestrian. I don't think he would have got over 100 k's an hour, I reckon. It was just, he just sort of, you know, wobble them down there. But
would have looked good. One of those blokes that looked good, but no, crap.
And the helmet, Bill. We couldn't get the helmet on properly. It's sort of something going on with the forehead.
Good.
We couldn't ever work it out.
Hey, look, Bluey, all the best. Looks a fantastic team, this. Oh, James will be running it, and he'll be the kingpin. But I love the team. Good luck with the summer of cricket. And where can we hear it? In every ball?
Every moment of every test and one day, Bill. That's right. On the listener app. It's Triple M Rocks Cricket. Oh, thanks, Bluey.
All right.
See you, Bluey.
M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
Someone have hold of your pill.
No, they didn't drop for a while. They're up there.
Binge, you've had a good week this week, I feel.
Do you think?
You were pretty confident yesterday there might not have been an idiot file.
No, I was very confident because I was good. No, it was ordinary Monday. I was very good Tuesday.
Yeah, day off.
Yes.
You carried me Wednesday.
Exactly. And yesterday, very good. So no idiot file sucked in.
Well, this is what you said yesterday.
Exactly. No idiot file I see there. So that means I've had a good week.
Hold your horses.
I've had a good week. That tells me.
No jigging the seat. You've had a good week.
Riding horses.
Well, finish today's show off with an absolute zinger,
please. When we have an idiot file tomorrow, can we replay that?
No.
Well, we did. And for that reason, here's your idiot file.
Another one of St Kilda's favourite sons is returning to the club.
Zach Dawson.
No, it's not Zach. No.
Robert Eddy?
No, not Robert Eddy.
Ralph Clark?
Close.
Clark? Ooh. Ralph Clark?
Ralph Clark? No, not Ralph Clark.
What a game last night, India-Pakistan. That was I could not watch. I just had to keep watching. I could not turn away.
What?
Yeah.
What?
I just had to keep watching. It was unbelievable.
Did you watch or not watch?
I watched it.
What actually comes out of it is what they do is the most important thing for the Bombers. They've got their coach now.
Brad's got it, and a good employment.
I think so as well.
And well done to the Aussie Diamond Girls. They've been under the pump a bit, and they won the Consolation Cup. Consolation Cup. Whatever it is. Zach Tui has announced that he's going around for another year. What a good player he's been at the Cats. I think he's played 130 games for Geelong, 120 for Carlton. 250th game on grand final day. Jim Steins holds the record for the most games by an Irishman. 264. So he should go past that.
How many does he need to go past, Bill?
Only 14, I reckon, Joey.
No, he doesn't. He needs 15 to go past.
Well, 14 to, yeah, all right. Good work.
I like that title, Unfinished Business.
So that'll be a thing we'll hear.
Yep, I reckon. Good.
What do you call that nowadays? Anyway. And I also asked him, you know when he'll bring it up all the time, like it's the narrative. Is that the word?
Narrative.
Absolutely fine.
So Jill and I used to come down about here, I reckon it was, in Mornay Street somewhere where the old...
Mornay
Street.
Or whatever it's
Mornay.
Called.
Mornay.
Good.
We can chat to Rajon Tucker about...
on you, having a crack at the basketball. Good on you. Just play nice and length.
Straight.
What do they say?
Line and length.
Also, Victoria playing Tassie today in a one-dayer down there in Launceston. Victoria 2-for-130. They won the loss of toss and elected to not to bowl.
Hang on, what?
Tassie won the toss and bowled.
Don't get him started on giraffes.
Do you like giraffes?
Well, yes and no. They're supermodels when they walk and then they can't drink or eat. One fell over the other day. Daisy sent me a photo of it, drinking water and then fell over.
In what country?
In South Africa.
No.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Namibia it was.
What about right now, the T20 World Cup game? I'll have a guess who's playing.
Who?
Have a guess.
Namibia. No, Australia, England.
No, Afghanistan, Ireland. I just wanted you to say.
So the coach of Lebanon is Michael Checker, who used to coach Australia.
Correct.
Okay? But so he coaches Lebanon in the Rugby League World Cup, but he also coaches Argentina in the Rugby Union World Cup.
So double dipping.
How can you do that?
Across both codes.
He's coaching Lebanon and he's coaching Argentina. Draft prospects. Awan and Jaden Davey have both nominated Essendon. They're twin boys of course, Awan Senior. Remember he playing?
Alwyn.
Alwyn or Awan.
There's an L in there.
Is there?
Certainly Alwyn.
Great to see you, Rabsy. Well done, Paul. Well done, Peter. Five of the...
thank you.
What are the gods, mates?
Disciples.
Disciples, thank you.
What are the gods, mates?
Oh, my goodness. Disciples. Oh, wow. Rabs, you dick. Glenn Blackley? No.
Glenn Blackley?
The CEO would be Grant.
I said, no, mate, no way. He goes, good one. I said, no, I'm not getting a photo with you. Are you cranny? I did. Eddie, there's photos with Eddie and everyone up there with their car toes. Anyway.
The tar code.
Brooklyn Nets have parted away with head coach Steve Nash.
Oh, no.
They've lost 5 games from 7 this year, and they've got a very good side, the Nets, and they just can't gel. There's something going on there, so he's been given the Tianwara. Tianwara.
No, sorry. Go again. Give us another one.
What's he? Tijuana?
That's it. Yeah, well done, Raps. That's it.
Can you spell it?
That was a good week for me.
You're simply the gift that keeps on giving. That was brilliant.
Oh, Joey got me a couple of
those. He did.
He was good, actually. Yeah. He just knew what I was trying to say, as Rabs does sometimes. So it all works out. It's all fine.
Until you gave him the Tijuana and got Daisy.
That's right.
Do you want to watch Billy's joke?
Look at him. He's now in the fetal position because he knows how appalling that is.
Just follow Triple M Rush Hour on Instagram and you can see Billy's joke every day. Get ready to laugh.
Any chance of the joke being funny?
No.
Or groan.
That's truly horrific.
This is Billy's joke on Triple M's Rush Hour Sunday session.
Righto, here we go. You ready?
Yes.
When I was at the airport, I flew back from Fiji the other day. There was a woman completely passed out. I think she'd had a big day like you yesterday. Mm-hmm. She was completely passed out on the baggage carousel. Oh, she's slowly coming around now.
Absolutely butchered it.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
She's slowly coming around now. That's all right. No. Dog. See, Raps, just because you lost at the races.
Love that.
Love that. I can't believe that one. That was a dad joke, by the way. People say, stop pinching dad jokes. But where else do I pinch them from?
Can you lift?
This is a bad joke.
I need you to lift. I
can
need
you
more from
get
you.
Me one then?
I gave you one for Friday.
I can't believe how hard it is to come up with a good joke.
He's cracked them.
Well, people think it's easy. Anyway, I'm going to finish with this. Keep going, Rats.
We're done, mate.
Yeah, hang on, Rats.
We're done, mate.
Oh, where is it?
This has been Triple M's Rush Hour Sunday Session. The best of JB and Billy.
You might get taken off here if you don't lift.
And you can catch the boys anytime by downloading the Listener app.
How do you spell it?
LISTNR. I feel good.